Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, brought to you by Your Network of Praise. Now, let's join the conversation.
It's our day of hope here at Your Network of Praise, and for the past year, many of us have been enjoying the Truth for Life radio broadcast with Pastor Alistair Begg, which started last spring, and we're very happy to have Pastor Begg with us this morning, and welcome to Your Network of Praise, Pastor.
Well, thank you very much. It's nice to get the chance to talk with you.
Now, I understand you're pastor of Parkside Church in the Cleveland area, but I know your accent is not quite the typical Ohioan accent, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, sure. It's more Ohio than it was in 1983 when I came here at the invitation of this church. And I came from Scotland, where I was born, and I came from a church that I was serving there. And when I arrived in 83, I was 31. And so for almost 37 years now, I've had the privilege of pastoring this particular congregation on the east side of Cleveland.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Sure. I have a wife who is American. We met years ago in London when we were both teenagers. And we married in 75. We moved directly to Scotland, and we were there for the next 8 years. And during those 8 years, our three children were born. And when we arrived then here in 83, the oldest was 4 and the youngest was 10 months. And now they are grown. A son still single, 2 married daughters, 7 grandchildren.
Wow.
And both of my daughters live and come to Parkside here, and so all of my grandchildren, all of our grandchildren are part and parcel of our church as well, so we're in a very privileged position.
Now, is it true that grandchildren are even more fun to have around than children?
Well, I think that's the common story, and it certainly bears testimony to the idea that if we'd known how much fun it was, we would have had our grandchildren first.
We've heard that a few times over the years. One question that that I always am interested in hearing when we have a chance to talk with someone such as yourself is, how did you personally come to Christ?
I had the privilege of, a bit like Timothy, of being brought up in a godly home, godly grandparents, and godly mom and dad. And so I was nurtured within the framework of these things, and professed faith as a small boy, led to Christ by my father on a Sunday afternoon after obviously the Sunday school teacher, whoever it was, had made a strong impression on me about what it meant to know Jesus and to love and follow him. And that really is the genesis of my personal understanding of that. Although I often quote, the hymn, "When All Thy Mercies, O My God," which has those great lines on unnumbered comforts to my soul, thy tender care bestowed, before my infant heart conceived, from whom those comforts flowed. And I just recognize in the goodness of God the way in which he has provided the context in which I would come to know him and follow him.
Wow. Now, with that family background and the testimony of parents and grandparents who were following the Lord, as you personally came to Christ, how did you see it begin to affect your thinking and way of life?
Well, you know, it just made perfect sense to me from being a small boy. When I grew into my teenage years, I then had to get to the point where the sort of divine afflatus that was part and parcel of my family life had to be made my own. And, you know, as you begin to proceed through adolescence, as you begin to distance yourself in some rightful way from your parents, as you begin to try and figure things out for yourself. Then in that context, I had to make those determinations. I was baptized when I was, I think, 16. It might have been 15, but I think 16. And that was a pivotal moment in as much as it was a sort of stepping forward on my own and in my own right and declaring that these things were my own. And then, you know, going on from there, realizing that, you know, the law of the Lord is perfect, it converts the soul, and realizing that to live in obedience to God's truth is actually not bondage, but is an amazing freedom.
Yeah.
And along the journey of later teenage years and then into my early 20s, I was learning what that meant. When my mother died very suddenly when I was only 20 years old and my sisters were respectively 15 and 11, then suddenly at an open grave that means something very much to one, then you're beginning to process just your convictions about all the things you profess to believe and what does it mean that Jesus is a risen and a resurrected Lord, you know?
Yeah. How was it that you felt the call to ministry at some point?
Well, I had my life pretty well organized. I'd send it off to God, you know, as a sort of request. I wanted to be a lawyer, a solicitor in British terms. I wanted to argue cases in court if I could. I wanted to marry this girl. I wanted to drive a certain kind of car. And, you know, I had it all mapped out. And then God kind of broke in on that. And without going into all the details, you know, he left me with the best piece of that puzzle in as much as I got the girl. But I ended up with a theology degree rather than a law degree. And, you know, all the influences of my life to that point all coalesced in sort of a big, gigantic jigsaw puzzle. And I realized that I had my life really oriented around myself rather than oriented around God and his purposes. And that doesn't mean that you've got to become a pastor, but in my case, it meant that. And that's how I ended up there.
That must have been quite a transition to go from the thought of becoming a lawyer to entering the ministry. And did you have some challenges along the way of finally making that decision?
No, actually, I mean, I was dead certain that I wasn't, whatever I did, I was not going to become a pastor. I knew that for sure. And so, you know, even when I started to prepare to serve God, I thought, you know, well, I can do this in sports ministry and in music ministry. There's a lot of ways you can do it without actually ending up one of those crazy pastoral types. And that was the big issue. That was the huge change in my thinking. And that was brought about in circumstances that I couldn't create. And yet I would say that I have never looked back for a moment from that particular moment in time where it suddenly dawned on me that the thing that I was resisting was the thing that God had for me in my future. And, you know, now when I have opportunity to address lawyers, as I often do, because there are so many of them around here, I look at them and I say to myself, I'm so glad that I didn't become one of them and that I have the privilege of doing what I do now.
Yeah. Of all the things that you face in the ministry, you, of course, pastor a church. You have a broadcast that's heard around the world. What is the most satisfying thing for you as you go into each day?
You know, just the privileges of pastoral ministry. That's what I am. You know, I'm a pastor. So the amazing privilege of being able to spend hours and hours of your week in the study of God's Word. The privilege of entering into the lives of your congregation, their joys and their sorrows, their funerals, their weddings, their baptisms, all of those things. That's the orb of my life. And I don't look beyond that for anything. I mean, the radio program is a privilege, but it only happens as a result of my doing what I do week by week faithfully here for the congregation. And so, I quite honestly, I enjoy all the bits and pieces of pastoral ministry.
Hmm. How was it that you began the radio broadcast?
Well, there's a sense in which it was begun for me. I had no intention of this. It was a young boy in our church who, when I came here, was, I think, probably just a junior or a sophomore in high school. It was his vision, ultimately. Is my voice and his vision. And Bob Butts actually has directed this program over the last 20 plus years. And he has been the impetus behind it. Other people have helped out along the way and various bits and pieces have come to us. We've been on the receiving end of things, you know, Roger. We've never gone out to try and present ourselves and seek things out. We've tried to be in a position of willing response rather than sort of taking initiative. I wouldn't cross the street to hear myself preach and And so I wouldn't be so presumptuous as to suggest that we ought to take what I do Sunday by Sunday for my congregation and inflict that on other people.
Well, God has provided you some great people to work with, and we most closely work with Amy and Jenny from the Truth for Life staff, and we appreciate them and the heart they have to see your messages get out over the airwaves so that people can be reached and ministered to by those things that God has given you to say.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, isn't that a secret for most of us to surround ourselves with people who love Christ and are better than us? And then we can relax and allow them to flourish in their area of giftedness. And certainly Amy and Jen are representative of that in terms of the entire Truth for Life team.
Yeah. How did that come about when you said he was just a high school-aged young person? How did that come about that he got the momentum going for a broadcast to begin?
Well, he was a high schooler when I came here in 83. He then went on to study, and he went to broadcasting school, and he then went to work for Moody Bible Institute. And so in his very early 20s, he just began to make a nuisance of himself at Moody. And without any prompting from anybody else, he began to suggest to them that his pastor, namely myself, might have a contribution to make to the airwaves. And so he was the genesis of the whole thing, really.
Wow. Well, a minute ago you talked about the joy of entering into the lives of the people that you minister to, and I want to kind of follow up on that. Our theme this year at Your Network of Praise is I Still Believe. And we chose that theme because we see so many people in our listening area having struggles in their faith. A lot of them have been put to the test with economic issues or health issues. And it's easy in those times of really serious hardship to be praying, and yet sometimes doesn't feel like your prayers are being heard, and it's easy to question our faith. And so we want to ask you for some words of wisdom on that, because it's very serious that our faith remain intact even as we go through the most serious challenges of life.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of my initial thoughts is to turn it around the other way and to say, isn't it amazing that we still believe? Isn't it amazing that we're still on the horse? Isn't it amazing that God keeps us? And that despite the things that come to threaten us and undo us, we still call out to God as our Father. And that, of course, is an amazing indication of His grace and goodness. I think, too, that, you know, when the Bible talks about a fellowship that is there in suffering, while it's never pleasant, but oftentimes I think when we live through these things, we have occasion to look back over our shoulders and realize that more spiritual progress has been made through difficulty and often through disappointment, through tears, if you like, rather than success and laughter. And so that's why I think James says we need to learn to count it all joy when we face trials of various kinds, not in a masochistic way, but because God uses those trials in order to produce in us things that do not come when everything is going along apparently seamlessly and in a way that we would like. I think one of the things that calls to us is the challenges of life, whether it is in dealing with our physical health or with our children who don't believe, or circumstances that we thought were going to be different. And to realize again, you know, in Paul's words, that in all these things, God is at work for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And of course, that good is to conform us to the image of His Son.
Yeah. We only get one chance to go through life, so it's important that we get it right. And I've noticed in recent years among the people that I know, some are frustrated and just saying, I just want to be done with it and get to heaven. And then others who are doing a little better oftentimes are really focused primarily on the things of this life. I'm curious to hear what you'd have to say as to what it is that we need to do and to understand, to have the right perspective so that our time between this morning and when we do go to heaven is most wisely used.
Well, I think one of the things that we need to all of us need to really understand and rejoice in is what the Bible talks about in terms of our union with Christ, that we have been united with him, we are united to him, that we are now in him, that we are no longer what we once were, and that the unmistakable purpose of God for his children is that we would be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus. You know, Paul says that in Romans 8. He says that those whom he has predestined, he also called in order that we might become like Jesus. In 2 Corinthians, Paul is saying the same thing, you know, that we are being transformed into his likeness. And John eventually says, you know, and when we see him, we will be like him. And so one of the ways not to lose our bearings in all of that is to ask ourselves when we get up in the morning, what is God's plan and purpose for me today? Well, it is ultimately to make us like his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that may involve good, bad, and ugly, but that's what he's doing. And so that ought to save us from pessimism on the one hand, and also from a kind of superficial optimism on the other hand, so that we are realistic about what's going on. I mean, later on today, I'll meet with a young girl who has a very, very severe cancer. She's only 14 years old. Her parents are devastated by it. She doesn't need to come to me and have me trot out some, you know, some pleasantries. But we need to get right down to the heart of what it really means to be in Christ, to be united with Christ. And it's this that gives us, if you like, stability or ballast when we find ourselves out on the sea of life and it looks as though we're about to be overwhelmed.
Yeah. Well, as you face a meeting like that later today, we'll certainly be praying for you here at the radio station. But how can we be praying in general for you and your family and your ministry?
You know, I think really in a word, probably faithfulness, that you know, one wants to be faithful. I want to run the race all the way along, you know. And so faithful to Christ, faithful to his word, faithful in my service of his people, faithful as a husband and as a father, now as a grandfather. That is really it. And it pretty well covers everything when you think in those terms.
Well, we will be praying for that faithfulness, as you asked, Pastor. And that would be the prayer, I think, for all of us, that we would want to go through life faithfully right up until the end. And we know that programs like yours are equipping people in our audience to do exactly that, to know the Lord better and to be prepared to live more faithfully to his calling. So thank you for all you do to make it possible for us to have the Truth for Life program on the air.
Well, I thank you, Roger. You know, we're just committed to the fact that the Word of God does the work of God by the Spirit of God. And it's always a great surprise when he chooses to use, you know, unlikely people and strange voices. But we're in this venture together, radio station and those that are carried on the radio station, to see, you know, unbelieving people become the committed followers of Christ. And so thank you to you and to the radio listeners out there for the privilege that you've given us.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast by Your Network of Praise. We enjoy bringing a variety of conversations your way about important topics or events. We hope you'll share these with your friends and family, and be sure to subscribe to our podcast by linking to our page at ynop.org, so you'll always be informed when there are new conversations ready for your enjoyment. To find out more about Your Network of Praise, go to ynop.org or visit us on Facebook.